Happy Friday, everybody. Another night on the edge for our basketball team tonight in Sacktown. Our great pleasure to welcome in Kings Insider, host on ESPN 1320's James Hamm. Hello, James. How are you?
Hey, James.
Good. Scott, how are you guys? Here.
Thank you for joining us.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, no, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Set the scene for us. I know the Kings are coming off a rough loss to the Pelicans last night. They're probably going to be as desperate as the Phoenix Suns are going to be. What does this game feel like in Sacramento?
Yeah, I think this is a big one. Last night's game was very deflating for the Sacramento Kings, very deflating for a fan base that, you know, waited 16 years to finally make the playoffs last year and then seen their team falter down the stretch. I think this is going to be one of those games where it's all hands on deck, where the crowd is going to be ruckus and crazy, and you're going to have two teams that just really haven't played all that well in the last month that are going to sort of the war of attrition here we're seeing at the end of this NBA season.
Yeah, I'm looking at the last game that the Suns and the Kings matched up, and I'm not talking about the one where the Kings blew the big 20-plus lead, but the last one was on February 13th, a 130-125 victory for the Phoenix Suns. But we saw Sabonis, who had a monster triple-double, 35, 18, and 12. And De'Aaron Fox also went for 40 and 9. What is it about those two guys that are so special and why they like to see the Phoenix Suns in front of them?
I missed part of that question, but as far as these two matching up, and I think the biggest thing that I would point to is that they each have players that the other one cannot stop. You know, that's something that I think we've seen throughout this entire season. The Kings don't have anyone that can match up with Kevin Durant. They really don't have anyone that can slow Devin Booker. But I think you can say the same exact thing for Sabonis and Fox. And so it really does come down to the star power in these matchups. And then, in all honesty, your non-star power guys for Phoenix are the ones that sort of busted up the Kings, especially in that 20-point comeback win. This is, again, two teams that are around the same, not really, I don't know if you'd say high-end talent-wise, but as far as their build, they're around the same quality of team. And I think this year in the Western Conference specifically, there's a lot of teams right around the same exact quality. And it's just who matches up better with who. And for whatever reason, the Kings don't match up well with the Pelicans, but they do match up well against, say, Minnesota, Denver, OKC. And you have a team like the Suns that might not match up against one team, but, you know, they have no problems busting up a bunch of other teams. And it's just sort of, to me, it's matchups. Yeah. It's the weirdness of this Western Conference this year that really prevails.
Yeah, no doubt about that. When you take a look at the Kings and losing four times in their last five games, what have been the issues with your basketball team?
Well, in all honesty, the issue is they're playing really good basketball teams. That's for starters. I mean, we're talking about a loss against the Knicks and then the Celtics on the second night of a back-to-back. You know, you're talking about OKC on the fourth game of a road trip. You're talking about a Pelicans team that has played them very well all season long. And, you know, when you blow games early in the season like the Kings did with losses against Detroit and Charlotte at home, games against the Washington Wizards, the Blazers, you look at the bottom five teams in the NBA, the Kings have lost to all of them except for maybe one. And that's a problem because when you get down to the nitty gritty of the season and we're looking at this, you know, five game stretch here to try to make your whole entire season, try to avoid the play-in tournament and all that stuff. It's those little losses that you really shouldn't have had early in the season that come back to haunt you. As far as the last like five games, you're really missing Malik Monk, and you guys will see it tonight. The Kings are so dynamic in the pick and roll with Monk and Sabonis, even Alex Len and Sabonis and Monk. And without Monk, that secondary playmaker, the Kings have just really struggled. There isn't another player in the league like Monk. He is the best pick and roll scoring guard in the NBA, like as far as metrics. And without him, you lose this other element that this team has relied on. And it's why you've seen the Kings shoot, you know, that incredible 58 three-point attempts against OKC the other night. It's because they really don't have the ability to get to the get to the basket, and to get Sabonis those three or four easy buckets every single game that he relies on, where he's on the roll, and you can't just man up against him. He's already moving, and he's just too strong for people.
Yeah, Malik Monk gave the Suns 22 last game.
Yeah,
and I think the Suns know all about blowing games earlier. They've lost three times this year to the San Antonio Spurs. And we have Frank Vogel on record saying he's not concerned whether they get the sixth seed or they're in the play-in going into the final postseason here. But what is the mindset of the Sacramento Kings? What are they thinking about? Obviously, they are in the play-in situation now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're different, right? Because the Kings haven't been in this situation before. They haven't been, you know, last season they jumped all the way up to the third seed in the Western Conference. And, you know, I don't want to say everything was easy, but they sort of had this clean path to the playoffs. And then if you go beyond that, we're talking about a 16-year playoff drought. So a lot of the players on this team haven't been in this situation before, where they're fighting and they're clawing. Where you look at the Suns and, you know, you got Booker, you've got, well, maybe not Bradley Beal, who didn't win a lot of playoff games, but you've got Kevin Durant. And then even your secondary players, you have a lot of guys there that have played a ton of playoff basketball. So that's different for the Kings. This is a learning experience for them. They didn't deal with injuries last year. They didn't have a ton of adversity. It was kind of just this clear path where they were just excellent all season long. And now we get to this situation where you're fighting tooth and nail just to find a kind of carve your niche out in the league. And, you know, the injuries hit at the wrong time. And so that's kind of put them in a tailspin. And, you know, it's how do you deal with the adversity here? How do you avoid going from a team that maybe was a 6 seed all the way down to a potential 10 seed? If they lose out, they're going to have a tough time avoiding the 10 seed. They're tied for the 8, 9, 10 at this point. They do have tiebreakers over both the Warriors and the Lakers, but this is a sketchy situation for the Kings all of a sudden.
Now, the NBA has got to be tickled with the play-in and the implications and how it's kept all these teams alive, certainly kept those last couple of weeks really, really compelling. Yet, a couple of teams laying back-to-backs on teams at this time of year seems to be really, really crazy. It's happening to the Pelicans. It's obviously happening to the Kings. How are the Kings suited in this kind of situation to have to play a second game back-to-back?
Well, they were really bad in the back-to-back early on in the season. They started 0-4 in the second night of a back-to-back. Since that time, I think they're 6-2, and they're 6-6 on the season. It's not been easy, though. You know, this is it's not typically even just a back-to-back. There's been a lot of 3 games and 4 nights and 5 games and 7 nights this season that's wiped out teams. And, you know, I don't want to, like, point to scheduling losses as a reason why the Kings are where they are. But, you know, playing the further you get east from the West Coast, the easy road trips get. And the fact that the NBA thought it was a smart idea to send the Kings all the way to New York, not only they had a game in New York, a back-to-back in Boston, and then had to come back to New York 2 days later, and then stop in OKC on their way home. It's just wild that the NBA thought that was appropriate in the final 2 or 3 weeks of the season.
That's nuts.
You're just wiping these teams out. And, you know, I'm intrigued to see, like, you've watched Kevin Durant pull off this masterful season where he's averaging 37 minutes a game at whatever he is, 36 years old, 35 years old. I want to see what the league looks like in the playoffs this year when Kawhi Leonard has had to play all these games and Paul George has had to play all these games and Kevin has had to play all those minutes. Like, what is this thing going to look like? Just to get into the play-in, to get into the playoffs, this is a huge dogfight. And a lot of these teams are going to walk into the playoffs beat up, bruised, and flat out old. Old and guys that typically don't play 70-plus games in a season. They usually wait until the postseason to play primetime minutes like this. So I think it's going to be a really interesting playoff.
Great stuff, James. Really appreciate your time and your insight this morning.
Thanks, Jason. Tell Coach Brown Scott Williams said hello.
All right, I will. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
See ya.